Imagine you are navigating a billion-dollar naval destroyer through a hostile, heavily contested ocean, and suddenly your GPS just
Right,
dies.
everything goes dark.
Exactly. Your satellite communications link vanishes, the glowing screens on your bridge freeze, and you are entirely deaf, dumb, and blind. In the past, this meant you were a sitting duck, isolated in the
A
water.
massive target.
Yeah. Today, it means your ship is about to seamlessly become a single node in an invisible, self-healing flying internet. I want you to picture the modern ocean not as a vast expanse of blue water, but as a web. Right now, global commercial shipping, naval defense, offshore energy grids, they're all relying on a massive, invisible, and incredibly fragile web of data.
And that web is held together by two very vulnerable threads, really. Undersea fiber optic cables and centralized low-Earth orbit satellites.
Right, everything goes up to space or down to the ocean floor and then back again.
We have built our entire modern maritime infrastructure on that hub-and-spoke model. And the problem with the centralized hub is that it becomes, well, the single most valuable target.
Yeah.
In a highly contested environment, severing that connection point is the very first move an adversary makes.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is going to be so critical. We are taking a comprehensive look at a massive joint venture between a tech infrastructure company called Inventures, an operating system developer named DeReticular, and a major loiter drone manufacturer.
Yeah, it's a massive collaboration.
It really is. Together, they are building something called the Sovereign Maritime Mesh, or the SMM. The promise here is monumental. We are going to explore how they are taking that fragile hub-and-spoke model and completely replacing it with a decentralized floating organism that actually gets stronger when under attack.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get into exactly how this floating internet works, we need to understand the panic surrounding the current setup. The core vulnerability is a concept known as linear fragility.
Linear fragility perfectly encapsulates the threat. I mean, you have a single linear point of failure. If you are a commercial oil tanker or a naval vessel, your over-the-horizon communication relies entirely on satellites. And satellites are highly predictable. They follow fixed orbits based on the laws of physics, making them incredibly susceptible to kinetic destruction, literally being shot down with anti-satellite missiles.
Wow.
But even more commonly, they are vulnerable to severe electronic warfare. If someone jams the GPS and satellite frequencies in a specific, say, 500-mile radius, your multi-billion-dollar fleet simply ceases to function as a coordinated unit.
And this isn't just some theoretical wartime problem playing out in simulations. This is happening right now, every day, with the dark ship problem, specifically in regions like the Baltic Sea.
Yeah, the spoofing issue.
Exactly. You have scenarios where a sanctioned tanker will spoof its automatic identification system, its AIS coordinates. On the global satellite map sitting in some command center, this ship looks like it's peacefully sailing through the Mediterranean.
When physically it's nowhere near there.
Right. Physically, it is navigating the Baltic Sea, smuggling or conducting unauthorized operations. It is completely invisible to the centralized system because that entire system relies blindly on self-reported data beamed up to a satellite.
It's a massive blind spot.
But wait, why can't we just rely on better, more secure satellites? I mean, why not just launch harder to jam, heavily encrypted military satellites and fix the hub rather than reinventing the wheel entirely?
What's fascinating here is that the physics of the problem simply won't allow that. It doesn't matter how secure or heavily encrypted a satellite in orbit is, if the signal itself has to travel hundreds of miles through an atmosphere that is blanketed by localized electronic warfare.
Oh, okay.
The jamming doesn't usually happen up in space, it happens down here, overwhelming the receiver on the ship itself.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if you are conducting anti-submarine warfare, radio waves do not penetrate deep water.
Oh, because of water attenuation?
Exactly. The physics of water attenuation means satellite signals bounce right off the surface. Traditionally, you have to drop sonar buoys into the water, and then an anti-submarine aircraft, like a P-8 Poseidon, has to fly in tight circles, dangerously on station in hostile airspace, just to act as an airborne relay antenna to get that data to the satellite.
That sounds incredibly risky.
It is. The future of maritime security requires moving the infrastructure out of space entirely and pushing it directly into the contested environment.
So, if we establish that space is no longer a safe or viable place for our routers, where do they go? Because of the curvature of the Earth, a ship simply cannot broadcast a high bandwidth radio signal to another ship 1,000 miles away. The ocean gets in the way.
Right.
So to build this localized alternative, the Sovereign Maritime Mesh operates in three distinct physical tiers. Tier 1 consists of the surface nodes. We're talking about naval destroyers, autonomous offshore oil rigs, and autonomous surface vessels called curb cars.
And they are packed with hardware.
Yeah, every single one of these surface nodes is equipped with Dirticulars, Rios command centers, and heavy-duty NVIDIA GPUs. They are essentially floating supercomputers, acting as the data generators and the edge learners.
But they still need a way to connect those supercomputers over the horizon without going to space.
Right.
That brings in Tier 2, the airborne nodes. These are high-altitude pseudo-satellites, or HAPS, often referred to as loiter drones. They are flying at 60,000 feet up in the stratosphere. By putting the physical router that high up in the atmosphere, they effectively push the radio horizon beyond 300 nautical miles.
That's a massive coverage area.
Huge. And finally, you have Tier 3, the shore nodes. These are the coastal command centers safely on land, acting as the global brain to ingest and monitor the data when the network is fully connected.
Okay, to help you visualize this, think of it like setting up a local mesh Wi-Fi network in your house. Let's say a storm knocks out the main fiber optic line for your entire neighborhood. You lose connection to the global internet.
But your house still works.
Exactly. Inside your house, your phone still connects to the living room router, which bounces the signal to the kitchen router, which talks to the garage router. Your smart lights, your local security cameras, and your internal file servers all keep functioning perfectly because the network is localized.
That's a great way to think about it.
Except in this scenario, the routers are ultra-long endurance drones loitering in the stratosphere, and your smart devices are billion-dollar destroyers and offshore oil rigs.
Right. And by establishing that routing infrastructure at 60,000 feet, you create a localized, closed-loop intranet. You completely eliminate the need to beam data all the way up to orbit.
Which solves the satellite problem.
It does. But establishing the physical network is only half the battle. The moment you turn this localized flying network on, you run into a massive data bottleneck. A localized radio mesh network simply cannot handle the staggering bandwidth of traditional cloud computing.
Oh, the bottleneck here is massive. A modern naval fleet generates terabytes of raw data every single hour. We are talking about high-definition radar sweeps, electro-optical 4K video imagery, and massive, dense acoustic sonar files.
To massive amounts of data.
Yeah. If every ship in a strike group is trying to upload terabytes of raw video and audio to a single drone over a radio link, the network would instantly crash under the weight of it.
And this is where the Sovereign Maritime Mesh introduces a brilliant technical shift. Their core engineering philosophy is share the lesson, not the data.
Share the lesson, not the data.
Yes. They achieve this through a specialized process called federated learning.
Let's break that down because the numbers here are just wild to me. Under the old cloud computing way, a ship detects a strange acoustic anomaly underwater. To figure out what it is, the ship has to send a massive 2 terabyte raw audio file up to a centralized cloud server so an AI can analyze the sound.
Which takes forever and uses all your bandwidth.
Right. But under the SMM way, the ship doesn't send the audio at all. The ship uses its onboard NVIDIA GPUs to train its own AI locally, right there on the hull. The local AI listens to the audio, learns to identify the submarine, and updates its own internal mathematical models.
It's doing the homework locally.
Exactly. Then the ship takes that mathematical update, which is called a gradient update or a weight delta, and sends just that math to the drone. Imagine an AI model is a giant soundboard with millions of volume dials.
Okay.
The ship doesn't send the music. It just sends a tiny text file saying, turn dial 4,000 up by 2 notches. We are talking about taking a 2 terabyte file and turning it into a 50 megabyte math equation. The bandwidth consumption drops by 99.9%.
Which is incredible. You are pushing the compute power to the absolute edge of the network. Consider a real-world application of this. Imagine one of those autonomous surface vessels, a curb car, is navigating the Arctic Ocean and encounters a highly dynamic, newly formed sea ice shelf.
Like a completely unmapped obstacle.
Exactly. The curb car uses its physical sensors and its local AI to figure out how to safely navigate through that specific treacherous ice. It successfully maps a path and learns the physical parameters, the density, and the friction of that ice.
And instead of uploading a massive high-definition 3D video map of the entire ice shelf, it just extracts the mathematical lesson it learned.
Right.
It beams that tiny 50 megabyte math update up to the loiter drone. The drone instantly broadcasts that update to the rest of the fleet. Suddenly, a second curb car, maybe 50 miles away, instantly knows exactly how to navigate that specific type of ice without ever having seen it before.
It's instant collective learning.
Yeah. Or, in a defense scenario, if a ship is getting hit by a brand new Russian radar jamming frequency in the Baltic Sea, its local AI figures out how to filter out that specific noise. It sends the mathematical lesson to the drone, and within seconds, the entire Allied fleet is mathematically immune to that jamming frequency.
It's a game changer.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. The operational security benefits. Because you are only sending the math, the raw sensor data never actually leaves the hull of the ship.
Which is huge for OPSE.
Absolutely. Even if an enemy manages to intercept the radio transmission between the ship and the drone, they don't get the highly classified audio signature of an Allied nuclear submarine. They just get a string of abstract numbers adjusting dials. They have absolutely no idea what the ship actually heard or saw.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes the definition of artificial intelligence in a battle space.
How so?
Well, the loiter drone overhead isn't just acting as a router, it is an active aggregator. It receives these localized mathematical lessons from 15 to 20 different ships, submarines, and oil rigs below it. It uses an algorithm called federated averaging to combine all those different lessons into a single, highly optimized model.
A supermodel, basically.
Yeah, we call this a regional consensus model. The drone then beams that smarter combined brain back down to all the ships. You are creating a decentralized hive mind. Every single node in the network is learning from the collective experiences of every other node, getting smarter every second without ever exposing their vulnerable raw data.
A decentralized hive mind sounds incredibly powerful, but if these machines are automatically sharing lessons with the whole fleet and seamlessly incorporating those lessons into their own brains, what stops an adversary from poisoning the well?
That is the exact vulnerability any sophisticated adversary would target.
Right, because a hacker could spoof a ship's signal and send a malicious mathematical update that effectively blinds the entire fleet's AI. How do you establish trust in a trustless sea?
To counter this, the sovereign maritime mesh relies heavily on advanced cryptography and, crucially, physics. The system uses a hardware root of trust, specifically TPM 2.0 chips, combined with an innovation called RF fingerprinting.
For the listener, a TPM 2.0 chip acts like a physical vault baked directly into the silicon of the computer. If you have a modern smartphone with a secure enclave that stores your fingerprint or face scan, you are already using a consumer version of this. It's an isolated hardware environment that software hackers simply cannot touch.
Exactly.
And the RF fingerprinting radio frequency fingerprinting measures the physical transient radio imperfections of a ship's emitter. Just like every human voice is slightly different because of the unique physical shape of our vocal cords, every single radio transmitter on Earth has microscopic manufacturing imperfections that give it a unique physical voice when it broadcasts the signal.
So when a ship attempts to join the airborne mesh, the drone doesn't just ask for a password or a digital certificate. It listens to the physical radio wave itself.
Wow.
It measures those microscopic hardware imperfections and creates a cryptographic hash of that unique physical signature. If an adversary sitting on a laptop tries to spoof the identity of an Allied destroyer using software, the drone will instantly reject the connection.
Because the hardware doesn't match.
Exactly. The software cannot replicate the microscopic physical hardware imperfections of the destroyer's actual physical radio antenna. Software spoofing becomes physically impossible because you cannot fake the hardware.
This physically anchored trust is exactly how they solve the dark ship problem we discussed earlier. There is an incredible protocol utilizing zero-knowledge proofs, or Zisk SNARKs, functioning on a distributed ledger called Locutus.
Yeah, Locutus is fascinating.
For the listener, a distributed ledger here acts like a highly secure, unhackable public logbook that the entire fleet shares in real time, making sure everyone agrees on exactly who and where they are. Mm-hmm. Let's say the loiter drone is flying over the Baltic Sea and its optical cameras physically see a massive oil tanker down below.
The drone's operating system, Orios, automatically queries that distributed ledger. It asks, is there a cryptographically verified ship broadcasting from these exact coordinates?
And if that tanker is spoofing its AIS to pretend it's down in the Mediterranean, the ledger will definitively say no. The drone realizes there is a massive physical object displacing water down there, but there is no cryptographic identity attached to it. It immediately logs a physics violation. It knows the ship is a ghost.
And it needs to act on that.
Right. The drone needs to alert NATO or the Shore Command about this smuggler, but it cannot broadcast its own classified location to do it. It uses a zero-knowledge proof. It sends a mathematical guarantee to the Shore that says, I have definitively verified an unauthorized mass at Sector 4 without revealing how it knows or where the drone itself is located when it saw it.
Brilliant.
Hold on, though. Even if the physical hardware is completely verified and the radio fingerprint is perfect, what stops a rogue crew member or a compromised insider who is physically onboarding a real curb car from poisoning the AI locally?
Oh, the insider threat.
Yeah. If they are on the real ship, the drone will trust the math they send up, right?
Yeah, that is precisely where the Skacemarks prove their ultimate value as a mechanism for what is called proof of valid learning.
Okay, how does that work?
The cryptographic proof guarantees mathematically that the AI weights were derived strictly from real physical sensor inputs. How does it do that? The physical sensor, the camera, or the sonar array, cryptographically signs the raw data the exact millisecond it is captured.
Oh, I see.
When the local AI does its mathematical homework to learn from that data, it has to carry that digital signature all the way through the equation. The ZK SNARK acts like a teacher, checking the final answer to ensure the student actually used the right source material without the teacher ever having to read the entire textbook themselves.
That is wild.
It proves the math wasn't just randomly generated by an insider on a laptop trying to poison the hive mind. It mathematically binds the AI lesson to the physical reality of the sensors, all without ever revealing the raw sensor data itself. It forms an airtight loop of physical and cryptographic trust.
It's staggering to think about the layers of verification happening in fractions of a second. The drones, the federated learning, the cryptography, all of this leads us to the ultimate stress test, the true purpose of the SMM architecture.
The worst case scenario.
Yeah. What happens when the worst case scenario becomes reality? What happens when the global brain, those coastal command centers on land, are completely cut off by an adversary? Imagine the centralized satellites are kinetically destroyed, the undersea cables are severed, and the entire maritime region is blanketed in wideband jamming.
In traditional naval architecture, that is a decapitation strike. The fleet goes dark, coordination ceases, and survival becomes a matter of isolation. But in the SMM architecture, this catastrophic loss of connection triggers a protocol called island mode.
Island mode is the protocol for surviving a total communications blackout. The exact moment the loiter drones realize they have lost their connection to the global backhaul, they seamlessly switch their routing mechanisms.
They activate Trifi wireless mesh networks and free space optics.
And free space optics are literally highly focused laser crosslinks fired directly between the drones and the stratosphere.
Yeah.
They stop looking up to space for orders and they start looking across at each other.
Because they don't need the cloud to process their massive data files, the mission doesn't stop. The drones execute a gossip protocol.
Gossip protocol.
Yeah. Without the global brain on shore to coordinate the fleet, drone A simply shoots a laser over to drone B and shares its regional AI weights directly. Drone B shares with drone C.
So they just talk amongst themselves.
Exactly. The fleet continues to learn, adapt, and evolve in a completely sealed off-grid ecosystem. The drones and the ships simply buffer terabytes of localized intelligence on their massive internal storage drives, waiting for the day the jamming stops.
So what does this all mean? It means we are looking at the literal definition of anti-fragility. If you attack a centralized system, it breaks. If you attack the sovereign maritime mesh, if you sever it completely from the rest of the world, it doesn't just survive.
It actively adapts.
It reorganizes itself. It continues to function perfectly in the dark. It is a system that actually gets stronger and more hyper-specialized the more isolated and pressured it becomes.
And when connectivity to the mainland is finally restored months later, the localized locutus contracts automatically execute state reconciliation. The highly evolved, battle-tested island mode model that the fleet developed while isolated is seamlessly uploaded and merged back into the global network.
You listening to this deep dive right now might not be commanding a naval destroyer in the Baltic Sea or managing an autonomous oil rig in the freezing Arctic, but the shift we are seeing in this technology, the shift from uploading absolutely everything to a fragile cloud to edge-native, cryptographically verified privacy that is the undeniable future of all our technology.
Oh, absolutely.
As our world generates more and more overwhelming amounts of data, from our cars to our homes, we cannot keep sending it all to centralized servers. The bandwidth simply won't hold, and the security risks of a centralized hub are too catastrophic. The sovereign maritime mesh is a masterclass in how to manage information overload safely and efficiently. Share the lesson, not the data.
This raises an important question, though, something to deeply consider as we move toward these decentralized learning systems. If a naval strike group enters island mode for months, completely isolated from the mainland, fighting to survive in a hostile, highly contested domain, its AI models are going to evolve completely independently, based purely on the extreme, localized environment it is forced to survive in.
Right, because it's only learning from what's immediately around it.
Exactly. What happens when that isolated island intelligence develops highly specialized, potentially radical behaviors to stay alive? And more importantly, what happens when the jamming finally stops, the lights come back on, and we try to plug that radically divergent, battle-hardened mind back into the global brain?
That is a fascinating and slightly terrifying thought to leave you with what happens when the lights come back on. Keep questioning the infrastructure around you, because the way our world connects is fundamentally changing. We'll see you on the next deep dive.